you can't go. Just kidding. There is missions that, and there's a mission trip even to Tijuana, right? Yeah. And yeah, I seriously could sit up here and talk about Leanna Cinquinta, and yeah, but I don't want to do that tonight. So I just want to introduce our friends, some of our spiritual parents, Mark and Ann Tubbs. I'd like them to come and share. Yeah. Yeah. So Ann has a word she's going to share before Mark comes, and I'll let them take it from here.
We love being here. We love our Alaskan family. You know, we don't view ourselves as itinerants. You know, itinerants visit a lot of different places, which we do, but really we feel like we're visiting family when we come here. And every time I come, I get to know more of you. And you, I do carry you in my heart, and I pray for your church. And I am excited about your call as a church, an apostolic church in Anchorage and in Alaska. And I pray into that quite a bit. So thank you for letting us come. Last night, I actually was praying, Lord, give me a word for this church. Can you give me some dreams? So I actually got a couple dreams, and I wanted to share them with you. The first one I got was, it was a dusty desk. And in the dream, I felt like the Lord was saying, it's time to wipe off the desk and sit and study again. And so I felt like there's a special anointing for studying the Word, that the Lord's going to give you more revelation as you look into, you know, key words and correlations between the old and the new, and different prophecies and promises. And one of the things that the Lord said was, at the beginning of this year for me, he told me to write down, read the Bible through in a year, write down every promise. This is the second book that I've filled of promises. And so that's one of the things he wants you to dust off, all the promises that he has for you. And we sang about them tonight, and just that they're going to be fresh in your spirit as you study them, as you dust them off. And also old prophecies. It's a good time to bring up all things that maybe you got weary of contending for, or you've forgotten about. Maybe do some research of old prophecies and collect them and contend for them again. And then the second dream I had was kind of a continuation of this one. And I was walking up to a man, like you had a best baseball hat, and I was going, what's on this baseball hat? And I turned around, and I was like really curious in the dream, and it said number 8. And in the dream, I knew that meant that there's going to be 8 times the power in your contention when you pray for these prophecies and the promises. And I don't know how the economy of heaven works really with 8 times. What does that look like? But that's what I heard. I mean, that's a lot of power. So he's saying, do it again. Your declaration has even more power than it did last year. And the prophecies you've been contending for, more powerful as you agree with them. So not like all the times past that you prayed for, that's not wasted. It's accumulation. And this is an opportune moment. And number 8 means beginning. And so a lot of us have been contending, you know, for the nation, the world. And we can get a little bit weary. It's like, you know, I thought that we were on the winning side, God, what's going on? You know, so like, you know, but sometimes we can grow a little weary in doing good, but the Lord is releasing a freshness in your intercession, in your belief, in the promises, in the prophecies. It's a new beginning. And he releases, I love this verse, Isaiah 43:19, I am doing something brand new. Okay, now we either believe that or we don't. So we have to decide. Is what we prayed last year, are we going to have more power this time? Is he going to make it fresh in our spirit? Is he going to heal the trauma and the delay and the disappointment? Can he do that? Yes. And so we're going to go even more full of power, even more expectation, and full of hope than we've ever been before. Why not? Can he do that? So I'm going to believe for that. Unheard of. Even now it sprouts. Even now it sprouts and grows and matures. Don't don't you perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and open up flowing streams in the desert. And, you know, I think even the weather here is prophetic. Okay, it's cold, all right. But, you know, hey, we're from Portland, and I don't think it's that bad. Just get a really good coat and some good boots. And look outside how beautiful it is. I've never seen such beauty in all my life. And it's so clear. And that's what God's doing in the spiritual environment here. He's releasing a clarity. And you can see far. And Alaska is right the furthest, like it's yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Just like Jesus. You guys carry something only you can carry. And so, Lord, I just pray right now, Lord. I pray, God, that those contending for long-time promises will have more hope, more power, more faith than they ever had in all their life. Lord, that this is a time for punching through. And they're going to believe for that with great boldness in the name of Jesus. Release that Alaskan boldness through them, God. And release an Alaskan boldness as an impartation of the nation. And I'm going to take it with me, just like they were saying to me tonight. Lord, we thank you, God, for what you're doing and give you praise. Praise you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. All right. I was just thinking I get to live with her. No. What an honor. Yeah.
You said punch through, I saw this. It looked like a wall that I had come to. And when you said punch through, I actually saw both my hands hit it, and it was dough. And it broke like it was, but I couldn't see through it because it was thick enough, and it looked like hard to break. But I took both hands and punched like this, and it just like, you know. And so I just want to tell you, some things that are in your way that seem impossible just need to go hit them hard and watch them go.
Amen. Thank you. It's great to be here. You know, I have a word for you tonight and tomorrow, but I really feel like every time I just pray, Father, what are you doing? One of the main things I feel like is he wants to release some comfort. He really wants to comfort your hearts. I don't know if it's loss or it's been hardship or just a weight you're carrying. Anybody here need comfort? I'm just wondering, okay? I just feel like the Lord wants to comfort you for a minute. And if you could bow in prayer, I just want to I want to minister to your heart comfort. You know, comfort is a choice. You can choose to be comforted. Because sometimes we don't think it's time to be comforted yet. But right now, I'm urging you to choose it. And just tell the Lord, I need your comfort. I'm actually desperate for it. I need you to come and clothe my heart. One of the worship leaders was going after the peace tonight. Right? She was releasing. When Jesus said, peace give I to you. Not as the world gives, right? So it's like the Lord saying, comfort I give to you. And he holds your heart in his hand. And he just wants to give you strength and comfort. And comfort is where you're just safe. You're home. And you belong. You don't have to strive. You don't have to do anything. You can just receive it. So I just want to bless you with that. I command. We talked about commanding, declaring. I declare and command a comfort over your heart that will be real and tangible. I just pray that you'll just feel it in your neck and in your back, and in your stomach won't be so tight. to start to feel a release. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, I just felt like that was what he wanted to do. I do have a PowerPoint tonight. I have no clue how much I use it. I mean, I am so bad at that. I put up a PowerPoint and I just totally go a different direction. But I like to use it for some reference and teaching. So I don't know if you, I think you have that. The first one is just to say that I believe the purpose of our visit is to command and release a blessing into your life. We're here to do that. And, you know, it's interesting that, you know, we talked so briefly, and even before he knew what I was sharing, he said to me, well, I've been talking about the Holy Spirit. And I said to him that I have a message on, that I want to share. The Lord had already spoke to me about commanding a blessing. How many of you are familiar with the Unity Psalm, Psalm 133? And it talks about how, blessed are those who dwell in unity, right? But really it goes on to say that those that are in unity have an increased anointing. And it's like the anointing that came upon Aaron. And then it says, it's like the dew of Hermon. And it says there the Lord commands a blessing. And so tonight we're going to be speaking about the commanding of the blessing. We were just in Kenya. We just got back. In the last month, we preached in Amsterdam. We were in the Netherlands. We actually were in the Hague as well with some Bulgarian congregations. Then we proceeded to Kenya. We had a team. We did over 40 meetings, and we fed over 2,000 people. But I had a very unusual experience. I've had similar, but in this case, there's severe drought. Everywhere we went, everybody was hungry. And so we got to feed them. It's called palau. It's like meat with rice, and it's just like it's like what you would have at a wedding. And so we were able to have that prepared, and they had a wedding feast after every meal we did. But they were so hungry. But with the drought, all of a sudden I was in this meeting, and the Lord said, "I want you to command rain." How many know that if you get a word like that, it's terrible? It's like, you know, first of all, if rain doesn't come in 24 hours, you are wrong. I mean, you know, and second of all, it's kind of like you just like, you know, if you don't have to be at the meeting the next day, then it might be okay, you know. Like if you go on to another city, you know, like, well, but, you know, I had to come back. And so I told them before the next meeting. Now, by the way, just to know this, the context is there hadn't been rain in up to 6 months. Okay? So it was like, it wasn't like a lucky stab, you know? And so I was like, okay, Lord. But I wanted them to know. And then I heard this come out of my mouth. The Lord saying it's not about rain. It's about blessing. And when the rain comes, it'll be a sign of blessing. And so, to my joy, it rained so much that there were puddles forming, meaning the ground absorbed everything, and then there were puddles. So they were like saying, the next day when we came, they were expectant because the Lord had spoken and the rain came. And it was kind of strange because, you know, I did probably 20 meetings, and it was like, you know, it wasn't like everywhere I went there was drought, but four different times, the Lord had me command rain. And all four times it came. And in fact, one time it came right at another meeting when we were there. It rained so hard that people were gleeful. I mean, they were so excited it was raining so hard. I wasn't exactly that excited, but I was excited that the rain came and it was so special to them. And we ended up with a feast. We really went right from there and to have it. But I was meditating on that, and I was sitting there, Lord, what were you teaching me? You know, because certainly I don't, you know, I'm not just going anywhere where there's drought and having this authority to command rain. I mean, maybe in certain circumstances. Now, I want to say this. In every case, I heard the Lord say, declare it. Okay? I heard him say, command it. Just like I was just commanding comfort to you. It was that real. So when I hope you get comforted. I hope tonight you just like to swim in his comfort. And you can't see the, you know, I can't see the comfort rain. But I'm actually going to preach on Sunday about the Holy Spirit and about comfort partly as well. But what I want to just say right now is that I really meditated on it, and I started thinking about, Lord, are there other things, there are times where other areas of my life where you would want me personally to start making commands of things that I've already been told, that I've already been given. There's the scriptures, Anne was just talking about promises. There's some things that you ask for and you should contend for. But I would like to suggest that it's probably true that you have a lot of things you ask for and you already have, but you haven't realized it. Like it was released when you asked for it. Sometimes I meet with intercessors and it's like they're praying the same prayer that they were 3 years ago. And I feel like I say to them, I think the Lord's already given you the answer to that prayer. Like a computer update. You need to get an update in your prayer life, because what you've already been given it. And so this, I want to talk a little bit about personal level. I want to talk to you about how to really exercise the authority that you have, with the authority to declare. And because it's great to hear stories about rain, or even about, I love your story about, the school. But every day you have the authority to command a blessing. Every day. And you can declare a blessing over your body, over your spirit. We'll talk about these different areas. I think of Jesus. If you walk through stories on of Jesus and how he does ministry, most of the time when he did a healing, he commanded the healing. He didn't say, I pray your eyes will be opened. He'd say, eyes be open. Okay? So I decided I was going to try that. And you can watch a video on my Facebook page. Literally just spoke to a blind. We spoke to a blind eye. We did it together. And we prayed. Yeah. But it opened. I got so bold one day, I just thought, how about all the deaths? Just bring all the deaths. And all the ears were open. And I was just trying that, just again, that model. Just okay, Jesus, you gave us the power and the authority. And so just command it. Command ears open. You must open in Jesus' name. So there was something in that. But those are things that we can see and celebrate. But the truth is that you live a daily life. How many know the greatest battle in life is it's daily? You got to get up every day. You go through your routines. And some of us make it harder than others. For example, you like really good coffee. No, we do. We're kind of coffee snob. But the thing is that every day you have the authority to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And part of it is what you're speaking over your life. So I'm going to be meditating a little bit with you on how to know your spheres of authority and how to declare over it. And declare what you and how to learn when you don't have authority, when it intersects with someone else, or when God hasn't yet spoken it, because it's really important. I love this one. It relates to your work. Jesus is the fishermen. These are fishermen. They're trained fishermen. They're really experienced. They fished all night. And this guy's on the beach yelling, like, cast the nets on the other side. Of course, they realize, they realize now it's Jesus. Finally, they're kind of, is that Jesus? They're trying to work it out. They finally, and so they go, okay, he said it, and he commanded it. He said, does anybody know this? In the Greek, there's actually a command tense. We use an exclamation. in English, but in the Greek language, there's actually like, so be baptized. That's a command tense. It's written in such a way that you know it's a command. And so he's telling them, cast the nets on the other side, and they have so much fish. Could you imagine if you just sought that kind of revelation in your daily work, in your daily life? You could ask the Lord what you're to command. And I have real estate stories. That's my passion. I got burned in the stock market in the 90s, and I just thought I got to do something else. So I've got land stories, spoken over land, commanded land. I'll talk to you about in tomorrow night. I'll share a couple of those stories. But what I want to say is that this is what I want to do is practical. It's not just about you standing up in here and praying for people and seeing the hick. How did that come out? The sick healed. The hick sealed. But seeing the sick healed, that's great. But when you go home and, you want to speak to fatigue, you want to speak to discord, you want to speak to, like even tonight, I don't know if this was from a conversation, but I just really felt like we were supposed to command over people that were in situations that had to do with inheritance. That was kind of in dispute or even being, stolen. Does that relate to anybody? Anybody, any kind of disputes related to inheritance? Maybe you could tell me in private prayer time. Just want to declare over you that, God will give wisdom and authority in that. Amen? So I just want to bless you in that. Jesus goes to this man and he's waiting. Remember, he's waiting in Bethsaida. He's waiting for the pool to move, right? And he can't. He says, "Well, I don't have anybody to help me." And Jesus looks at him and he says, he commands it. It's a command sense. He says, "Take up your mat and walk." And the Bible says he immediately was healed and he got up. This was last Sunday. I ministered in Washington, not D.C. And there was a woman that came, literally she came running up to me. And she's holding a baby. The baby's probably about 4 or 5 months now. And she's just smiling ear to ear. And I remembered her. And she goes, "I want to thank you so much because how you taught me and you challenged me changed my life." And what happened is there was when I was at the service, she was an unwed mother and she didn't even know who the father was. And she was living across the street in a ministry that helped unwed mothers. And I asked her, I sat down with her. She had a two or three week old baby when I went there. And I sat down with her and I started talking with her. And she was so ashamed. She didn't know who the father was. And she felt so guilty and so worthless. I realized that she was going to be miserable. And so I told her, I said, "You need to go look in the mirror." And by the way, I'm making, I didn't realize it now, but I'm just telling her this will change your life. This is like a command for your life. I didn't use those words, but I said, "You need Angie, that's her name, and you need to go home right now and look in the mirror and tell Angie you need her and that God will be with her and that she will be changed." And I said, "You need to do that every day." So I guess she went home, looked in the mirror, and told herself, "I need you," and God's with you. You wouldn't have believed her countenance. And it was so changed. And I'm just thinking the power of those words that can come out of your own mouth. You know, some of that applies to a few people in here. You need you. You need your support right now, really bad. And you're not giving yourself the support you need. I feel like there's some some authority in this. It's time to look in the mirror and say, I need you, and I have your support. I will support you, and with God's help, I will come into my fullness. Everybody say that right now. I will come in to the fullness of Christ. Okay? I'll come into the fullness of Christ. I don't order a pizza and get half. I would never be happy. I'd be irate if they came with half a pizza. Not a little bit of, you know, tomato sauce on the lip, you know, or something like that. I mean, I'd be wanting to know where that half is. I want the fullness of Christ. Right now, I literally loosen and command the fullness of God's blessing upon my life. Go ahead and say that. I command in Jesus' name and release the fullness of Christ. I'm just quoting Ephesians 4. I'm just quoting Scripture. That you'll come in to the full measure of Christ. In fact, Paul is so concerned about it in Ephesians 4. He mentions it 3 times. He talks about you coming into the full measure. That the measure of the giftings have been given to you. And at the end, he talks about being in the fullness and the maturity. If you go to the next slide, the Lord gave me a command. And what he said to me was, it is the season to shift the nations. It's the season to shift the nations. Now, I want to say that when I first started hearing this, I was kind of like, that's cool, God. Yeah, it's time to shift the nations. Then he said it again. He used the word, said a season. He said it's time to shift the nations. And then I said, well, Lord, by the way, I'll send this to anybody. Church has it, and you can request it. So some of you who take notes, that's how you learn. Go for it. But if you miss something or I don't go over it, don't let it drive you crazy. You can get a copy, okay? I love teachers. They love that, and that's good, and because you'll probably teach it better than I do. But the truth is that I heard the Lord say, it is time to shift the nations. And then I was still kind of like not getting it. And then the Lord said, it is time for you to shift nations. Now, I want to teach just a moment a little bit about this. Is it's very important to be humble. Okay? But the greatest humility is believing God. And God is going to do more than you could ask or imagine through you. And when he tells you about your destiny and you're really listening, he's going to freak you out. How many have ever heard this message? God wants to freak you out. Okay? Because God wants to do beyond what you could ask or imagine. Think about that. He wants you to do beyond what you could ask or imagine. He wants to give you beyond what you could ask or imagine. Meaning, something that God wants to do in you and through you isn't something you can ever contrive. And in fact, when he starts speaking it, you may not understand it. Now, I'm just sharing my personal testimony is that I just sought the Lord and I said, well, what does that mean? Now, by the way, I'm in no way saying that God is telling me I'm going to go shift nations by myself. I wasn't hearing that. I wasn't like, oh, yes, now here the shifter of nations is coming. You know, no, it means that I'm going to be a part of what God's doing. And I'm going to come into strategic places and times. And so then he said to me, I go, Lord, well, how is that going to happen in my life? And he said this. He said, I want you to listen to the invitations that you get, and they're going to be different. So when I got invited to Amsterdam, it wasn't come and do a conference. It was come help us father this movement in this nation. Okay, so when I went to the Netherlands, I went as a father. I knew that I was going to go as a father. And so when I got there, I was going to go do this conference. I'll never forget it. This was right after. I went to go preach, and all of a sudden, I'm sitting in front of the church, and I'm weeping. It was a big conference. They had people from all over the Netherlands to come here on the apostolic movement. And I didn't know it, but they didn't like the word apostolic. They didn't like the word apostles. They just didn't get it. And so I didn't know that. Here I was asked to speak a conference on it because they thought it would help clarify, you know. But anyways, I'm starting and I'm weeping. And I'm like, Lord, what's happening? And he goes, they have many teachers but few fathers. And I said, well, I just was crying. I go, Lord, what do you mean? He goes, I don't want you to go in there and teach. I want you to go in there and father. And so I went up and I just started speaking to them, and I started speaking about how they may have felt abandoned or orphaned, these different things. And I'll never forget the weeping that started coming across the room. And afterwards, they started coming to me and said, you know, if you were to link the apostolic and fathering, you could change our nation. That's what they said to me. And so that's what I started doing. Ann and I started doing Father Heart Schools there. And that was just a part of the blessing. You know, I just want to declare this is a new season for Bridge of Hope. Okay? It's a new season. And I'm sorry, but you don't get to wait until January 1st to go, what is the new season? It started now. So, you know, before the holidays. You know, they always say, oh, everything's kind of dead before the holidays, you know. No, it's not going to be here. This is going to be... I just want to bless you guys. I want to say this month is going to, you're going to see more healings, more comfort, more wisdom, more revelation. It's just going to, you know, it's just going to be a real blessing. And God's increasing your spheres of authority. That's what that prophetic word to about the school, that was the symbol of education, of the seven mountains, opening to you, government and business in particular. I just feel like right now for government, it's so ripe. It's so ripe for the right voices in schools and on boards and in different places. And, of course, on the business mountain, you've already seen that. Amen? So I want to talk about the importance of the spheres. And reason why is that I want you to understand that the authority that you have and that you can measure those spheres. You know, how many have heard the teaching on seven mountains? Okay, most people have. I'm not going to teach on the seven mountains. But one of the things that the seven mountains teaches you is that you have kind of a sphere or a lane of influence, right? You know, I love having the young people here tonight. You have spheres of influence in school and with friends and on sports teams and wherever you go. Every one of us has spheres of influence. And God's calling us as a church and as families to shift regions and to look at the spheres that we can actually shift. And there's some really interesting verses, 2 Corinthians 10:13. Paul is talking about these spheres or this area that's been assigned to us. For me, my lane might be different. I truly believe it's not more important. I really believe I'm not more gifted. I don't have a higher calling. I think all that's church stuff. I don't believe any of that. I don't believe there are important people and, you know, unimportant people. I don't believe there's like more anointed people and then kind of not so much anointed people. I don't believe that. How many of you have the Holy Spirit? How many of you have an anointing from the Holy Spirit? Then I don't think you have like a junior Holy Spirit somewhere. You know, like I don't think you lack anything when it relates to the Holy Spirit. You've been learning about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was poured on all flesh. Your sons and daughters, even your maidservants will prophesy. Why? It doesn't matter if that was referring to a culture where there were servants and slaves. Even your servants will prophesy. It's not just for the people who supposedly have power. And then Jesus flipped it all around, and he says, the servant is the greatest of all. So I'm going to show you how much I love you. I'm going to wash your feet. Jesus turns it all upside down. And I want to command a blessing right now. Are you ready for it? You are anointed. If you don't believe me, get over it. No. You have everything you need. There's not a person in here that lacks power. And there's not a person here that lacks authority. You may not be functioning in using that authority or that power. That's a different topic. Well, I guess that's what we are talking about. You have authority and power. Could you imagine you're watching Jesus do all these miracles, and all of a sudden he gathers the 12 of them, right? And he says, okay, there's going to be a different plan. Are you guys ready? I'm going to send you out in pairs. And I'm not going with any of you. What are you going to do? I'm going to go back to the hotel and go to the pool. No, I don't know what he said. That's what I would say when I send you out. So he says, I'm sending you out, and I'm not going with you. Why? Because I'm going to give you my power and authority. Do you want it? How many want it? You have it, right? He says, I give you power and authority to heal the sick and cast out demons. When you think like that, you can go bring all the death. You can say it. You think you're crazy. But there's a part of you, you can get to the point where you can believe that you have power and authority. I can't make you believe it. But one of my favorite things is, and by the way, I know you guys have a ministry to Kenya, right? Sandra? Is she here tonight? Or no? Okay. And I honor what she's doing. You know, it's a little bit different. I take teams out and do a little different. What they're doing there with homes and all that stuff is so important. You know, it's just different lanes, different things, right? And so what I do is I try to take a lot of people who've never done any healing and just put you in a village and then call up all the sick, you know, and you're the one that does it. And this is what happens with team members. They'll be going, like, they'll be praying for, like, a deaf ear and it'll open. And I've had team members not go, wow, the ear's open. They're like, it's more like a question. You know, like, they're hearing, you know, like they're, and they're the ones that prayed, you know. And so again, I believe that God wants to freak you out, right? There's a boldness that comes. This is what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about there's something that's got to rise up in you. In tonight and tomorrow. That's kind of like you're just, there's this authority that you are grabbing. It's like you're going to own it in such a way, and you're going to speak it because that's who you are. You're not wimpy. Like when David got anointed, from this day on, the power of the Spirit was on David. That's what it means to be anointed. So when you say you're anointed, you're saying, from this day on, the power of the Spirit is on me. And in a sense, you're commanding that blessing over your own life and saying, I'm not going to live by someone who thinks like I have no power. I'm a person who knows I have power. I may not understand the power. And by the way, if I were to go somewhere else and the Lord will speak to me about commanding rain, I want you to know right now, I would be just as freaked out right now as I was the first time. You don't like do it four times and go, all right, give me the fifth, no problem, just move over, you know. Because in your natural mind, you know you cannot create rain. So you're not confident in yourself. Paul says this. Our confidence is not in who we are. It's our confidence is in him. But if he says it, will you believe him? And guess how you'll know if you believe him? You live in it. And if you don't live in it, it's because you don't believe it yet. Your head agrees, but your heart hasn't come into unity. Where two agree in his name, it shall be done. You're agreeing with heaven. So that's why I'm going to show you tonight the main sphere that you have to work on is the personal one. It's not going to be you're going out to some amazing village, because the first place you need to go to is your own heart and your own mind. That's your first domain. God will give you a glimpse out there, but he wants to give you the reality here. And so when it talks about the spheres of influence, Paul says, we will, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but will confine our boasting to the sphere of service God himself has assigned to us. A sphere that also includes you. I want you to notice this, is I believe, like, when there's biblical verses like this, I believe they don't apply just to Paul. I believe they apply to you. And so what it's saying here is that you don't want to boast beyond proper limits. Meaning, what does that mean? It means I don't want to claim authority that Ann has for Ann. I don't want to usurp Ann's authority. Right? That's what a healthy marriage is. That's what a godly marriage is. A godly friendship is. A godly pastor is. People who know how to respect your authority and don't feel their authority is more important than yours to usurp it. I never take authority. It's always given. I'm here out of relationship. I have zero authority here without the blessing of your pastors and your elders. I have zero authority. But when they get it, then I can walk in it. But it's still there. It's their sphere. Even when I come and go, I can intersect the sphere, but the sphere actually belongs to them. And if I cross any line and it's improper in any way, they have authority to rebuke it and correct it. That's what Paul's talking about there. So for you to walk in spiritual authority and power, you have to know your limits, and you have to know, on the other hand, the extent of that authority. Because it's real. Believe me, right out there, right now, when we walk out the doors, it's freaky out there. It's confusing between government and schools and all this kind of stuff. Well, whose authority to do what? It's a mush, Matt. Mush out there. Okay? That's why we are led by the Spirit. Okay? Because if we're led by anything else, opinion, for example, we're going to be miserable people. And everybody around us is too. I mean, no, that's just saying. Says this, neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting work done by others. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our sphere of activity among you will greatly expand. So that's what I wanted to show you in these two verses. I mean, in these verses, is number one, I want you to understand that you have a sphere of authority that has been assigned by God. Now, in the book of Leviticus and also Deuteronomy, God talks about how he hates those who move their neighbor's boundary stones. And back in the day there, they didn't have an office downtown at City Hall where they could look up your property and know exactly your lines. You know what they did? Is they had stones put on the boundary. Guess what people would do? They'd go at night and they'd move the stones about 6, 8, 10 inches so no one would notice. They'd move all the stones, steal territory from you. Go a few weeks later, move the stones a little more. Guess what's happened? The enemy comes what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Do you know what he wants to steal from you? Your sphere of authority. He wants you to think you don't have any power. He wants you to relinquish it. One to him. I'm poor. I'm not very gifted. I don't have anything to give. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm not trained enough. On and on and on. I had a failure.
these lies are intended to do one thing: steal your destiny, steal your purpose. I tell people I don't need a demon to help me sin. I can do that all by myself. Bad joke. Okay. Thank you for the laugh, though, Steve. That was really greatly appreciated. Of course I get tempted. But the point is, the greatest temptation is to relinquish the reality of the kingdom of heaven and God's power and presence and authority, and allow the enemy, the carnal, the thinking that does not belong to Christ. And that can gain ground in my head. Guess what? Some of the greatest battle of the boundary stones is in your head and in your heart. I can never trust again. I can never be vulnerable again. I can never open my heart like that again. Those are all lies. You were designed to be loved, cherished, safe, to belong. And none of those things I just said will accomplish that, those goals. Because once you close your heart, you will be isolated. Even in your own home. Are you seeing it? The thing here, the second thing I really want to emphasize here is that your sphere of activity will greatly expand. Meaning it's not static, meaning as more as you take dominion and you walk in godly authority, you will take the land for Christ. The enemy stole it and you're reclaiming it for Christ. How many have heard of the Lion of Judah? You know the Lion of Judah? The Lion of Judah is about reclaiming that which is stolen. Mm-hmm. I've seen the Lion of Judah. My head has been in his mouth. It was not pretty. It wasn't like a kitty. It was terrifying. He was telling me in very loving words, loving picture, he wanted my mind. I literally had my head in his mouth. He wasn't chewing on it, okay? But he's like saying, your mind belongs to me. I feel like commanding, roaring right now, I don't want you to have to raise your hand, over a spirit of addiction in this room. Who do you think you are? Spirit of addiction? I command you to leave that person now in Jesus' name. You will not have their mind. You will not have their eyes. You will not have their heart. I command you to leave in Jesus' name. I roar over you with the Lion of Judah. Be free tonight. Oh, man, I'm feeling it. I just want to roar over you like a maniac. You know what? That's not truly what I want. I want you to roar over you like a maniac. Well, I tried. It sounds more like a... I hate to say what it sounds like, but... Yeah, you roar over you. Take your life back. Who told you you were depressed? I'm not saying there's not a room for real depression. I don't want to diminish that. I believe there's a role, there's a place for inner healing and counsel. I do. I support that 100%. But there's sometimes we need to tell that spirit of depression, you have no authority in my life. You will not tell me I'm depressed. How do I know? Because I used to wake up every morning and the enemy tried to tell me I was depressed. I've never really struggled with severe depression. So I'm not, I have grace toward that. I'm not saying that. But I remember hearing it, and I would say, who's that? That's not me. Come in. You're not going to tell me I'm depressed. I might be tired. Well, even just tell me that. Every day I'd wake up, you're tired. Man, I'll tell you, the most dangerous place was getting from the bed to the bathroom. It's so dangerous, man. But I could get from the bed to the bathroom, and I'm not talking about because I couldn't make it, all right, but that was bad. But I'm talking this dangerous because, man, my thoughts from that moment, I've learned to take authority over that. In fact, you know that when I wake up, most days I don't even get up. Most days I stay there and I'm quiet. And I rivet my heart to Jesus. And I tell him, this day belongs to you. And I belong to you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. It's a very sacred time for me. A lot of days when I just lay there. Instead of the instinct to get right up. It's a time for me to be riveted with the Lordship of Jesus. So that my head is in the right place. And that's what this message is about. When we start talking about proper limits, sphere of service, sphere of activity, we need specific revelation and strategy to function. So go to the next one. How do you know your sphere? I've been talking already. I've been teaching on tonight on the personal. My goal is to show you that you have this defined authority and it can be used to shift every area of your life and sphere of impact. And while there's no formula, I can't put your sphere of authority, I can't draw a perfect line for it. There's no blueprint exactly for it. I believe that these are five ways to know how and where your authority is. And I just got this by revelation. I didn't read this anywhere. I'm sure there's probably some better teaching on it, some other books on it. I just wanted to try to figure out kind of some ways to measure my authority. And the first one is personal. That has to do with your own. We'll look at that in a moment. The next one is relational. The third one is titles. This will surprise you a little bit on the titles. If you're a title, if you're against titles, I'm gonna reclaim them back for you. You're gonna be a title liker. Never said that before. A title liker. Of course, we don't like false titles. We don't want self-appointed titles. We don't want titles that are given out of pride. Who wants that? None of us wants that. But if God has a design, He calls you son or daughter, you better run to that title. Because that's an awesome title. And there's a lot of power in it. And there's authority in it. And positional and revelational. And I don't know how far I'll get tonight because, you know, the floor might drop and I'll get sucked down. But probably not a lot further, but let's go into this. Personal, it's over every area of your life at every aspect. And no one has the authority to negate this unless you submit or allow it to be taken. How many of you growing up, your voice was not valued? Anybody here? Your voice, you were basically told to be quiet. Your opinions were a nuisance. In fact, they were unwelcomed. Your needs, a lot of hands went up. And the truth is that it's sometimes people go through the life trying to define if, am I being selfish? Am I exerting my will too much or not enough? It's just a battle. The personal has to do with you being established as a son or daughter in Christ. And that's why when Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was, he's to love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. It was an invitation to say, I want every part of you. I don't want just part of you. I don't want the parts of you that you feel good about or that you're confident in. or that you understand. I want the parts of you that are wounded. I want the parts of you that have given up. I want the parts of you that feel disqualified. I want the parts of you that feel like they have no value. I want those parts. And that's why I want you to love me with all of your heart. But wait a second, Lord, I don't feel worthy. Or mind, Lord, I don't know if I can trust you. I don't know if I can trust others. Or my soul, my will. I don't know if I can give my will to you, Lord. It feels like I make bad choices, and then every time I want to make a good choice, I still make a bad choice. That's your soul. It's your will. Your strength, your passion. What's important to you? False passions. Addictions, those things. Those have to do with your strength. Things that steal that. God wants to, for some of you in this room, the biggest encounter He wants to do is your heart. He wants to fill you with His love. He wants you to know how to receive His love. And then He wants your mind to learn how to be quiet and not have to be right and to understand. Did you know that some people are addicted to the need to understand? And they'll say, well, if I only understood. And then you feel like looking at them and say, what happens if you never understand? There's a good chance you're never going to understand why that person died or why that terrible thing happened. I don't know how you're ever going to explain that. A lot of Christians, I hate to say this, you're addicted to the knowledge of good and evil. You think that your mind can figure it out. I want to let you know this. Your mind, if it's not controlled by the Spirit, it will not have life and peace. I don't care how much you try to understand. How do you know if your mind's controlled by the Spirit? It's easy. Your mind, you're full of life and peace. Man, He wants you to love you with all of His mind. So you have to command your mind to have peace. You have to command your mind to be quiet. You have to command your heart. You know, your heart doesn't always agree with your head. My heart, you know, sometimes my heart just really gives my head a lot of problems. My head wants to go one way, but my heart won't. The Los Angeles Rams moved to St. Louis. And I decided I was going to hate them. You know? They betrayed me. You know, my team left me. So I'd watch football and go, those Rams. And then my heart would go, go Rams. And I'm going, heart, be quiet. You know, we're supposed to hate the Rams now. You know, get in line. We're not a Ram fan anymore. We're Seahawks fans. Then my heart would go, go Rams! And so I even asked the Lord about this. I said, Lord, what's going on? And you know what He said? He said, I created you to be so loyal, you will never be able to hate the Rams. He says, your mind has to understand that your heart will always be loyal. I said, Lord, well, tell me some other areas that's true. A lot of revelation came out of that battle. If you're stuck, you can't forgive, you can't have hope again. Someone's trying to be in control. Someone's trying to tell you who's in charge. The truth is, neither your heart or your head's in charge. You have someone you call Lord. You told someone you gave Him your heart. that your heart now belonged to Him. But you forgot. Because you thought it belonged to you. That's personal command. That's personal authority. You're looking at the double-mindedness. You're learning how to yield when you don't want to. I like to. I don't do this on purpose, but I'm going to say the word vaccine. Oh, I said it. Why am I going to share it? Yeah. I woke up last April, and the Lord said, "You're getting the vaccine today." Today, you're getting this vaccine. I'll leave that opinion, whatever. He said, you're going to be getting it close by, and I want you to look it up, and I want you to do it today. I said, Lord, why? Because guess what? I didn't want to drink the Kool-Aid. He said, because your destiny. You're going to be getting invitations to go to nations very soon. And when you get those invitations, you're going to be ready. That was on like April 11th. On April 13th, I was invited to Bulgaria and to Amsterdam. Okay? Amsterdam was shut down and was not going to open to July 1st. And the Lord said, it's okay, you can buy the ticket. But don't do it until June 25th. I was in Bulgaria on June 21st waiting to know. I had a ticket on the 25th to go to Amsterdam. But the nation was shut. And I needed to have that vaccine. Guess what? I saw on the news that night, Amsterdam's opening a week early on June 24th. And my ticket was good. Now, do I like it? Am I excited that I got that? Would I go around telling everybody you should get it? Absolutely not. But I want to let you know, my Father sent me to nations. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm trying to tell you, the Lordship became my authority. And He knew my destiny. Now, not everybody has that call. Not everybody's called to that. I'm not ever going to put this on anybody else. In fact, I didn't put that on my wife. But I'm a little riled up by Christians who aren't listening to the Holy Spirit, to be honest. We're not listening to culture. We're listening to Jesus. Was I direct enough here? Meaning, I'm very supportive. I have friends on both sides and in between and everything. And I love everyone and I support them. But I know what my Lord told me to do. And I know that I've been now in five nations. And had I not been obedient, I wouldn't have been. That's personal authority. You hear the Holy Spirit. And you are called to do things that you don't even understand. And sometimes it is beyond your comfort zone. Give that large amount of money. And you go, what? I'm freaking out. Go there. Small things. Last night we were at a restaurant. And, you know, there was this couple. I didn't know if they're Christians, but the Lord gave me a word for them. You know, I don't know. I'm trying to talk myself out of it. Man, but when I gave that word to that couple, you should have seen the face of that woman. She needed to hear it. I told her her husband had been amazing spiritual parents and the three that they had raised up and sent out. Man, she's like, who are you? And I said, I'm a son. doesn't matter. I'm a son. And I just felt the Father's love towards you. You want authority? You want to walk in power? How many want that? Starts within. Because when it's within, you're different. You go marching down, entire nation is afraid of a giant. You weigh at like 140 pounds. The giant weighs 450. His armor weighs more than you do. And you look at that giant, and you don't see what the rest of a coward nation sees. You are looking through the eyes of anointing. He said, you will not curse my God and my and God's people. In fact, I will cut your head off with your sword. How did he get those eyes? It's right here. I'm teaching you everything tonight. You can get those eyes. You can see with those. You. You just have to believe the word. Because the word's not like debating whether you're called. It's not like the word says, well, some of you are called, I hope. No. The word says that the power of God is at work within you to fulfill your destiny. According to the power of the Spirit in you. Go to the next one here. Seven areas of personal authority. Your spiritual maturity. Sometimes I'm ministering to couples and the husband thinks the wife's so much more spiritual than her. So much more anointed than her, than him. I'm sitting there thinking, who told you that? I knew that was, I knew the second I said it, I would set it up. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. No, I'm kidding. Don't compare yourself. Ask the Lord what you carry. I'm in awe of what my wife carries. I'm absolute awe. There are things that she carries. I've learned from her. She's been my mentor. She's been my teacher. An intimacy, hearing God's voice, knowing his love, all those things. But you know what? Your spiritual maturity is not anyone else's responsibility but yours and the Lord. Now, when I was a pastor, I taught people priorities too. You just learn how to hear God's voice. Don't tell me you can't hear God's voice. Who told you that? What a bunch of... Oh, by the way, that was at a apostolic party. You can go back to the pastoral people. But I don't understand it. Who told you? Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. It's your birthright. Don't let the enemy tell you you can't hear. You may not hear like someone else. I don't see very well. I see stick men. I see like green little blobs moving around. But I hear words, very precise words. But I'm not a seer. I'm not. My wife's a seer. If you have visions, man, you're blessed. But I hear numbers and words. And I learn to trust God when he says them. Your mental health. Yeah. That's part of your You know, if you have stuff. Imagine, I haven't lived with my grown children. We moved and they moved and we all now are back in Portland. And we're together as a family. Wow. Some of the issues are very, very interesting. Some of the buttons that I thought didn't exist anymore, boy, they do. I thought I'd matured so much. I haven't realized how immature I am until the last few months. Am I enabling my son or am I helping my son? Yes. And could you imagine someone like me who loves to confront things and the Lord says, no. 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 Just one. No. This one's really important. No. My wife's howling over there. So I'm having to talking just normally, my mental health. I've got to. So what if I get taken advantage of? What happens if I'm the most giving father there's ever been? Would that hurt so bad?
Yes.
My flesh. Am I talking to anybody here in the room? I'm just trying to show you. This is the kingdom. This is where you have authority. Whether you're going to get upset or you're not. You're going to bless or you're going to bring up the, you know, bring up the issues. I have a son that's battling for his mind and I'm going to fight because he won't go grocery shopping and he's eating all my eggs. I'm trying to make it real here. And I'm winning. I didn't mention the eggs. I didn't mention one egg. In fact, when I get home, I'm going to buy some more eggs. I command a blessing right now. Omelets and I'm just trying to show you that you have authority. You have an authority to be the safest, most loving person in the world. Anybody want to? Serious. How would you like to be the most safest person in the universe? Be careful what you ask for, you say. Believe me, I'm trying to make it real. Because I believe that more I gain authority here, it changes how I go out there. I'm not intimidated. I'm not thinking I have to protect myself. I'm not afraid. I'm anointed. And everywhere I put my feet, I can release the kingdom. Hey. That's what I want to be like. I command a blessing on my mental health. I command a blessing on my spiritual maturity, on my emotional wellness. Oh, man, it's been so frustrating. My battle with weight. I love steaks. If I get something that's puny, Man, get a small steak. It's almost depressing. I've been eating fish and salads. I ate lunch today and I left hungry. We all got our battles. Some of your mental health's great, but your physical isn't great. Some of your physical's, you know, great, but your spiritual maturity isn't great. I mean, this is why it's about every area. It's all about the Lordship. And I know it's a really broad topic, but I just want to say, if you want to command authority over your body. One thing I just refuse to have the enemy tell me I'm tired. I mean, I can be tired all the time. Tell me you're a liar. Stewardship of time, resources. You know? The Lord told me He wanted to totally rearrange my finances in the March and April of 2020. He says, I'm going to give you a strategy. And it's been an amazing ride, what He's had me do since 2020. Because I want to leave an amazing inheritance, and I want to have a lot of residual income. Because I want to go where I'm supposed to go. And God has a strategy for it. God has a strategy for your finances. You're the head and not the tail. Okay? Family. Well, we talked about that one. I had a miracle, by the way. Is that I should be ending. It's 9, I don't know. It's a Friday night, but just tell me when here. But I had a miracle for Thanksgiving. We moved to Portland, and my son-in-law is Korean, Korean-Taiwanese. And did you know that particularly in the Korean culture, oftentimes when couples marry, the in-laws don't get to know each other. It's not expected. And we've actually had some tension over some property things and stuff. But anyway, they initiated, we're going to have all of us together, and we're going to have Chinese hot pot for Thanksgiving, you know. So, but it was a breakthrough, because they were saying, we believe family is more important than tradition. So it's pretty exciting. So I'll be thinking of you when you eat your turkey, because I'll be eating some shrimp in hot pot. So it should be good. And your ministry. Everyone here has a ministry. It's not formal. Maybe some of it is. But every one of you has a ministry. And ministry is when you serve others. The Greek word diakonos means to serve other people. It's where we get the word deacon or deaconess. Just serving other people. And you can serve people wherever you go. Amen? Let's go on and see if I have any more there. All right, well, I'll tell you what. I'll end with this, and tomorrow night we'll pick up on the relational spheres, okay? I think you probably have a little bit to think about. Are you getting encouraged? Going to come back tomorrow night? Who said no? No, I'm kidding. I commit blessing on you. Even if you don't come, that's not the point. You know, I felt real power tonight. I'm going to ask you to stand up and do whatever, but if you've been struggling with some heaviness of heart, and you believe it's spiritual in nature. By the way, again, I'm not undermining the need to process, to get inner healing, to get counseling. I believe in all those things. But some of you are in a spiritual battle, and you need breakthrough tonight. I'm going to command that blessing for you. I'm speaking to spirits of addiction. I'm binding you in Jesus' name. Infertility. I command your ability to have a child if you've been trying. The baby's named after me in Kenya. I command that blessing. Here's one that it's true. I often pray for people that can't sleep. I like to command sleep. The Bible says sleep belongs to the righteous. How many of you are in Christ? Then you're righteous. That means sleep belongs to you. I learned a new technique just in the last few years. I asked the Lord to put me to sleep. I'll tell you. I'll ask him, is it you? Is there something you want me to work through, pray through? And if I said, if it's not you, will you put me to sleep? And I'll tell you, the technique is amazing. I can't tell you often. I can't remember how quickly I went to sleep. He doesn't conk me in the head or anything. But it's like all of a sudden, it seems like so much more spontaneous. It's like crazy. Why don't you pray? I'm gonna put out your hands like you're just receiving a blessing of blessings. I think it's very apropos we're not focusing on relationships and outward stuff tonight. I think we're talking about inward stuff tonight. And the Lord wants to command a blessing over you. Your pregnancy will come to full term. I command it. In Jesus' name, be at peace. Your future belongs to the Lord. Your mind is going over it. All the scenarios. Be quiet. The Lord says, I'm greater. I command peace to your future. And blessing. Things are frustrating. They're out of your control. You've wanted the breakthrough for a long time. I command a blessing. A holy contentment will come upon you. And you'll say, your grace is sufficient. You're enough for me. I speak a blessing on your hands for creativity. I speak a blessing over your finances for provision to bless others. I speak a blessing of your relationships, over your ministry, over your personal time, of your mental health. I speak a blessing over your spiritual maturity. I speak a blessing over your physical health. I command a blessing over your sleep, over your ability to forgive, and your ability to be forgiven. I speak a blessing of stewardship. In fact, I speak a blessing of exponential growth. Greater giving and greater receiving. I speak healing to your joints. I speak healing to your body. The Lord was singing peace over you tonight. He was offering you something supernatural. He wasn't suggesting it. He was commanding it. And you are receiving it. I speak a blessing over Bridge of Hope. I speak a blessing over your family, over your children, over your parents, over those struggling for life. I speak a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I know it's a little bit of a different style. A lot of times I call people for it, but I tend to go more like minister to all of you. Because that's what I have authority to do as an apostle. I get to set all of you free who want it. And I get to wave that sword like a crazy maniac. Or roar like a lion. I'll have to work on that one. Anyways, thanks for having Ann and I. It's a blessing to be here. Look forward to tomorrow night. And I'll just turn it over to you. Zach, love you. And Sage, you guys, man, these guys know how to host us. They just spoil us. I had crab stuffed halibut with macadamia nuts. It was really incredible. And
you can't be blessed with crab stuffed halibut. I mean, gee, wait. I know that there were several people listening. I don't know which camera we're in, but listening online. And so part of grabbing a hold of things like this is really receiving, not just, yeah, that was good, yeah, but grab it, receive it, take it with you. I do want to receive an offering, though, for these guys. And there's three ways you can do that. There's boxes in the back. You can give online, akbridgeofhope.com, PayPal, or you can drop it in here. But just want to do that. I want to be able to bless these guys. And either way, they're going to leave here blessed. So, but I want to give you an opportunity to sow into their ministry as well. And I think it's funny. Just really quick, I want to tell a story of something that happened to Mark twice last night. We're in the middle of having dinner, and actually we were waiting for our food, and another waitress came over, and she tried to put halibut cheeks in front of Mark. And we all kind of looked, and it's like, I think that goes somewhere else. And she was like, oh, oops. So she took it back and went over and gave it to the right table. It had four plates. She went to the other table. Well, our food comes out. Sage gets hers. Ann gets hers. I get mine. They set halibut cheeks in front of him again. And Mark looks up and goes, you know, this looks unbelievable. I mean, this is great, but this is not what I ordered. And the guy was like, really? And he pulls his ticket out, and oh, sure enough. So he goes back and gets the right one and brings it back. And then later a manager came to check on us and basically told Mark, if it happens again, just stick a fork and take it. And, you know, well, but here's why I'm sharing this with you. Sometimes we think we want something or need something else, and the Lord is trying to give us something that we weren't expecting or we weren't looking for. And sometimes we just need to grab a hold of it and receive it. Maybe you're here and you're like, I was hoping for a prophetic word, or I was hoping for this, or I'm not sure that applies to me. Or, I mean, I realize there's nothing up here that we couldn't all go, man, I want some of that, I want some of that, I want some of that. But I just want to encourage you that no matter what you came here thinking about, looking for, wondering about, expecting, receive the cheeks tonight. No. Receive what's been put in front of you, and yeah, stick a fork in it before somebody tries to take it away. No. So I'm going to pray and bless this offering, and then you're dismissed, and you can, like I said, give here, give in the back, or give online. So, Father, thank you for the blessing that we've been given in this apostolic couple, Lord, who have come to pour into this house and to pour into our lives individually. And so truly we receive all that you've spoken tonight, all that you have brought here before us. We receive it. We grab a hold of it. We say yes to it. We all want change. We all want a radical encounter. And Lord, we're thankful for the ability to step into new things and a shift in our lives tonight. We look forward to what you're going to be bringing tomorrow. And Lord, we just love you and we honor you and we give you the praise for all that's happening in us and in this community, in this state, in our nation, and in this world. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. If you're making out a check, you can make it out to Bridge of Hope, if I didn't say that already. But otherwise, bless you.
The canneries just threw them away, threw the cheeks away. The Filipino cannery workers would take them for themselves and take them home. And so there were years where those were never even salvaged and sold. And when you were talking about that, the Lord was speaking to me about at least someone, one or two people in the room, there's some sort of a business opportunity in front of you right now today that's being wasted. And he's going to show it to you. I declare that over you right now today, that there's going to be some sort of business opportunity that you need to be tuned into. Amen.